All right, church, have a look in Mark chapter 12. We are in a short little teaching moment with Jesus in which he warns his listeners about certain traits and tendencies that the scribes have. And he, in particular, wants to raise a question with them about his own identity, about being the son of David. So I'm going to read this to you. It's Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 35. It says, as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, how can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself in the Holy Spirit declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. David calls him Lord. So how is it that he is his son? And the great throng heard him gladly. And in his teaching, he said, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. So you can cross-reference that in Matthew and Luke, and it gives slightly additional information if you use both. But look, there's a few things here. First, he's talking to the scribes. A scribe had just asked him a good question about what's the greatest commandment, and Jesus had answered it and treated it as though it was a good question. But at the same time, you could tell that there was, you said you're close to the kingdom of God, but you're not there, buddy. You're asking good questions. You know your stuff. You're very knowledgeable. But what about the obedience part? That's what we looked at yesterday. And so then he goes into it, and he's, okay, since I'm talking to a scribe, let's talk about the scribes. As he taught in the temple, he said, how can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David, the anointed one, the Messiah is the son of David? How can they say that? It's a title. It's a messianic title. In fact, they had just been chanting it on the entry into Jerusalem, Hosanna, son of David. Okay, it is a messianic title. But Jesus is pointing out that, hey, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Son of God, is actually not just going to be a son of David as though he is somehow under David. And he quotes Psalm 110. That's what he quoted here. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand and I'll make your enemies a footstool under your feet. He says later in Psalm 10, you'll be a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, which the book of Hebrews picks up on. Forever? A high priest forever? In the order of Melchizedek? Melchizedek is not even in a son of Abraham. He's not even in that. He's not a Levite or anything. And David is calling him Lord. So he's not just a son of David. David wouldn't call such a person Lord. That's what Jesus is pointing out. And so Jesus raises this issue. Hey, the scribes have been teaching you this stuff, guys. And it's on one hand, it's perfectly fine to call him son of David. They do that frequently, we've seen. And he doesn't reject them for it, but he is challenging their thinking because they're expecting him, a son of David is going to follow in the line of David. A son of David might be somebody like David, a good king who conquers their enemies, unifies the nation, restores worship with the Ark of the Covenant and all this stuff that David did. He didn't build the temple, but he brought it into Jerusalem and established true worship there. And so a son of David is going to do that. If they have enemies, they're going to look to David to set them free from it, from the enemies. And Jesus is saying, no, you know what? I'm actually not just in the same son of David category. I'm a son of David in a different kind of way, as in David stepped in and fixed a huge mess that the previous establishment, King Saul, was not able to get done. David was a revolutionary king. He came outside of the kingly line of Saul, and he stepped in and did it right, and he beat their enemies in a way that Saul kind of compromised with. You remember King Agag, the Amalekite, and so on. So, son of David doesn't mean subservient to David. It doesn't mean going to do everything like David. It means he's going to be in the line of David according to the flesh, which the Bible lays out frequently, and Romans quotes it that way too. But he's going to be of a different nature than the his predecessors, just as David was. And then later on in Psalm 110, Jesus didn't quote it here in Mark 12, but like I said, it says he's a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, meaning outside the box of what a priest is supposed to do and a priest is supposed to be. Aaron, the high priest, the brother of Moses, and all of his family line. Well, Jesus isn't a Levite at all. He's not in the tribe of Levi. He's of the tribe of Judah. And so he's going to be in the order of Melchizedek, an outsider who steps in and does it right. Melchizedek, you can read about him in Genesis and his encounters with Abraham. I believe it's Genesis 14. I would need to check that. But he's saying, how could the scribes say this? The scribes are actually minimizing how great I am. I'm going to be way greater than that. And David called me Lord. So I'm more important than David, not less, not equal, but more. How can a scribe say this? Look, David himself even wrote it. Psalm 110, read it. Okay. And then in Mark, it says, the great throng heard him gladly. There's a lot of people there. Okay. And then in his teaching, I'll read verse 38. He said, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces. They have the best seats in the synagogues. Okay. So it's kind of teachings that bounce off one another that are both related to the scribes. Now in Luke, it says this, right after, if David calls him Lord, then how could he be his son? After quoting Psalm 110, Luke chapter 20, verse 45, it says, and in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes. So it specifically notes that he's saying this in the hearing of all the people. And then over here in Matthew chapter 22, he quotes the same thing. And it says this, it doesn't give the follow-up message in Matthew. Matthew skipped that. But it adds this note. It says, but no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare ask him any more questions. Because we've seen him get this series of questions from the Pharisees and Herodians and Sadducees and the scribe. And now they hear him teaching against the scribes, and they don't even dare ask him any more questions. And the great throng of people heard it, and he said it all within their hearing. Okay, so in his teaching, in a follow-up to this, after quoting Psalm 110 and raising the point, the very valid point that the son of David in Psalm 110 is greater than David, not less, after that, beware of the scribes, tells this to everybody. They walk around in long robes. They like greetings in the marketplace. They want to be treated as somebody special. They might have a title that they go by, and they want you to call them by their title. This is a frequent, I'll share this from my own heart. This is a frequent source of, I'm not sure how to handle it in my personal life because I'm a pastor. And so a lot of people call me pastor, or they call me Pastor Tyler. Some of them call me Reverend and stuff like that, but pastor is the primary title that people use for me. And on one hand, I accept that. I recognize that they are putting themselves under my spiritual authority, and that's my job, and it is a high calling, and so on, and I believe in it, and not to take it flippantly. And the people who call me pastor, presumably, are not, they mean to say they show respect, and I think showing respect is an important Christian principle. But on the other hand, I never want to love my job title. Like, if you know a guy who's a carpenter, do you call him Carpenter Tyler? Or something like, you know, like it's kind of odd that there's certain job titles that we call them by their title and then other ones we just don't. And it creates this odd hierarchy that isn't quite scriptural, even though showing authority and deference to others and all of that is scriptural, it really walks a very fine line. And some people, and I can't read their hearts, but other people are going to say that as a form of flattery to try to put themselves in your good graces to show that they are respecting your authority, but in really they're just trying to use it as some way to manipulate. And then others will use it as though whatever I say is some sort of edict from God himself, and they'll ask me questions that aren't in the Bible. Tyler, the Bible doesn't answer this question for me. What do you think? Well, if the Bible doesn't answer it for you, I can tell you what I think, but I'm just a guy. I don't get to write my own Bible. I don't get to tell you other things that aren't in there. And this, the scribes, they love their greetings in the marketplaces. They love to be looked at with some sort of title. They demand to. The ones that have 10 different degrees and certifications and stuff that want to put them at their, you know, MA, MD, PhD, whatever their, I don't even know what these things mean. Honestly, I have no idea what they even stand for. Some people just, they love that. And these scribes, they love these greetings in the marketplaces. They have the best seats in the synagogues and they have places of honor at feasts and they like that. There's some sort of, there's power, there's fame, there's wealth, there's respect from others, and it starts to become something they like. They devour widows' houses and for a pretense they make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He doesn't say long prayers are bad. I have heard this before. This passage misused, that if you pray a long prayer, that automatically means you're showing off. And it does not automatically mean that. It says, for a pretense, they make long prayers. If you have a serious prayer and all of this is burning your heart and it starts to tumble out and it takes a while to pray at all, great. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe we need to pray longer prayers at times, but not for a pretense, not to impress people, right? And that's what he's going for here. They will receive the greater condemnation. If you're in it for yourself, if you're in it for the prestige of it or whatever, you're just completely backwards. Beware of these scribes. Very knowledgeable, but as we saw with him picking a hole in Psalm 110, they're very knowledgeable, but their knowledge is not God. Their knowledge does not make them equal with God, does not let them just make up whatever they want. Knowledge does not give them any authority at all. And in reality, they're just people. They're just people. And so, look, if you want to call me pastor, if you genuinely feel that that is a way to put yourself in a position, scripturally, a humble position, under your pastor's teachings and so on, then, hey, that's a good attitude. It's a righteous attitude. It's fine. But you don't need to. I'm perfectly fine being called Tyler. That's my name. Just like I call you by your name, and so on, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with it. All right, but you're not going to see me dress up so that everywhere I go, people know that recognize me, that I must be a pastor and have to treat me differently. I dress like I dress. I made a decision to wear the same outfit every day of the week. I mean, not the exact same outfit, but tucked in shirt with jeans and a belt, and that's. That's what I do. It's not a pastor's uniform. I want to dress in a reasonably well, and I want to conduct myself in a respectful manner and not look like a slob and also not look like somebody super important that you have to act different around, right? We don't want that. So as far as this applies to you, I've talked a lot about how it applies to me. Sorry. But how does this apply to you? Well, first of all, Psalm 110. Get on your knees before Jesus. All right, he's God, and so yep, they his name is Jesus, or they would have pronounced it Yeshua in his day. But even these other guys that come to him that don't like him will frequently call him teacher or rabbi. Some will call him master or Lord. Obviously, those are the ones that. Or legitimately recognizing his importance even higher level. He had a name, but he's God. And you call him by his title, and you recognize him by his title. And yes, in some sense, according to Romans 8, you have been adopted with Christ as co-heirs with him. You are adopted children of God. He's the firstborn. And in some sense, that makes him a brother or something to you, but that is in a theological realm that tells you of your genuine total authority in this world to bring about God's kingdom. You are commissioned to by Jesus. Matthew 28 says that, and all through Acts says it as well. All authority in heaven and earth, go make disciples of all the nations. So we're aware of this. But Jesus is God, and you're not. and you're not. And he's not your boyfriend, and he's not your friend in that sense. And there is an absolute, you can come boldly to the throne of grace, but you recognize that it's grace, and you don't deserve it. You can come boldly because of Christ, not because of you. And it's just a key difference. So let's maintain our utter irreverence before God. And what that might look like, as Jesus does, he immediately leads into that with the scribes. Hey, look, if it was King David, you'd call him His Majesty the King, or whatever. That's what you did. That's what you do when there's a king. Well, this guy's better. David called him Lord. The king called him Lord. So you better call him Lord. And as a follow-up, these scribes that love their fancy greetings and their job titles and their special outfits and uniforms to make you respect them more, beware of them. Okay, if you're somebody likes their job title so much, you know what? Jesus' job title is Lord. Beat that one, buddy. Come back to me when you have that as your job title, and then maybe then we'll. Otherwise, I'm going to beware of you. That's what Jesus says to do. Beware of the scribes. They love to be treated special and greetings in the marketplaces, and everybody's eager to see them because of how important they are and knowledgeable they are. You know, David called him Lord, so you better be on your knees too. All right, that's what I get out of this for application. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We will be finishing chapter 12 tomorrow, the widow's offering. I'll see you then.